You can't be two places at once. Perhaps you've heard that from a parent or a teacher or a former employer. You can't be two places at once. You may hear that in a few weeks on Saint Advice Day from your advisor. And if you don't give heed to your advisor's advice, I can assure you that a visit to the registrar will cement the fact in your mind. You can't be in two places at once unless you're a Christian. The Christian faith turns that locality fact on its head. Because of our rebirth by water and the Word, we've been recreated for life in two worlds. Paul, the apostle and missionary, understood this, and he also realized the challenges that were a part of life as this new creation. It's not easy to live in two places at the same time. When Paul wrote his amazing letter to the church in Rome, he was in Corinth, surrounded by all kinds of philosophical and moral craziness and confusion. He shared some highly personal information with the congregation of Christians in Rome, and he wasn't kidding when he wrote, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" This wasn't just a delicate moral dilemma of a man who suffered from spiritual hypersensitivity. This is the sort of mental condition that brings the deepest despair and absolute helplessness. This is the sort of anxiety that creates chemical mayhem in the brain. Paul believed, he knew that Jesus was the Christ, the one in whom the human mind could find peace, the one who had triumphed over sin. But Paul suffered. His conscience accused him. And if we are to take him at his word, he sinned against God and against his neighbor, and his sin was persistent. He had a lawyer's knowledge of God's law. His keen personal sense and experience taught him that the more he wanted to live in a way that pleased God, the closer and more intimate his love of sin increased. This drove him to a depth of sadness that is difficult to imagine. But maybe we can, especially if we dare to look in the right mirror. In all of this, even as he sinned, Paul knew he lived in two worlds. His redemption, his eternal life, was an already and actual accomplished reality. He looked forward to a future eternity with hope. But even in the midst of his hopeful sorrow, perhaps we can almost call it a spiritual schizophrenia, he knew that he, his body, and his spirit was living already in an eternal kingdom. And he knew that in this eternal kingdom, even his sinful flesh with its own deadly kingdom rules and regulations would finally follow Christ in a glorious resurrection parade. And he writes, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. But there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Those are words of tremendous, tremendous comfort to anybody who has ever faced the challenge of life in two places at once. The Spirit sets us free. The Spirit is stronger than our conscience. When the law of conscience accuses us, God comes to us in His gospel word and says, "You are not of the flesh, but you are of the Spirit." Flesh we have, and flesh we will have again. But in that day it will be a perfect recreation, a second life-giving command from God to our own personal dust. The Spirit will breathe into that dust, and we will become the creatures that we were meant to be in Eden. The Spirit does not call us to an eternity of life as foggy phantoms. The life that the Spirit brings is Easter morning life, filled with fleshly joy and feasting, a marriage banquet without embarrassing speeches. In our flesh, with these eyes, we shall see God. Paul writes, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Do not rejoice in sin or in the bondage that it produces. But when you sin, and you will, turn again and again and again to the glory of Easter, to Christ's Easter, to your Easter and our Easter, which has come and will certainly come for each one of us. Live securely then and patiently as a person who lives in two places at once. For we belong to God, body and soul, and death is dead." Hallelujah.